When English is a second language to either speakers, listeners, or both, what are the impacts on communication? What are the impacts, let's say, on life, business, maybe even career advancement? Guillaume Thierry is professor of cognitive neuroscience at Bangor University in Wales. Is with us this morning to have a conversation about this. Guillaume, good morning. Welcome to the Opening Bell.
Good morning, Steve.
Let's start first by talking about English. Let's put a new term on folks if they've not heard this. Lingua franca status. What does that mean?
Oh, well, it's pretty simple. It means that English has achieved prime status. It's basically the language that's used to talk about business, but not just business, politics, science, any general business in the world is mostly discussed in English today.
101 countries, I think, is the current total. But some people have trouble communicating, even in English. What are the problems, the trouble with speaking English as a second language?
Well, it's not so much the problem of speaking English as a second language that is a tricky situation. It's actually the reverse. It's the fact that people who speak English as their first language and live in a world that's mostly speaking English as a second language, they have a problem interfacing with the world. So the problem is, from the listener's point of view, if you're using English as a second language, you, of course, have decreased comprehension, and you can't communicate everything you would like to. I'm myself French originally, and I speak English as my second language. And I've discovered that there are things that I can't express in English, or things that I've discovered that are new and I can't express back in French. And so the problem is, for the second language speaker, a problem of limitation. But the problem for the first language speaker is that they never discover fully the state of mind or the conceptions of the person speaking in their second language. If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And that seems like a pretty big wall that separates us.
It is. And what is interesting, I think, is that people underestimate the vulnerabilities of having a lingua franca as their first language. I mean, I'm just going to give you an image to make that a bit simpler. You know, it would be a piece of cake, very easy for anyone in Russia or in Africa or in China to come and navigate the networks of languages in the US and in UK, for instance, because they kind of know English and they can find their way through. But for the English-speaking world, which has got very low proficiency in other languages, it'll be simply impossible to penetrate the meanders of networks of China, Russia, or Africa, simply because you don't know the language. So there is a vulnerability here that's been underestimated and that may be causing serious problems in the future, actually.
Let's talk about that. In introducing you, I talked about business and career advancement in a world that is becoming now global, a global world of business. From that perspective alone, I'm thinking of lots of different problems that could exist.
There are a huge number of problems. People assume that because English is the lingua franca, they can just go anywhere and speak with anyone and assume that understanding is mutual. The problem is that if you speak only English and you don't have any understanding of the language of your interlocutor, you have no chance of understanding their culture and their expectations. And fine-tuning an agreement will require you to understand exactly where they come from, what they want, what their state of mind is, what their goal is. And to do that without knowing their language is simply impossible.
So what is the solution here? Obviously, it's learning another language, and I know some businesses require their employees when they go global to learn other languages. Is that really the number one solution here?
Absolutely. There's absolutely no question about this. And the problem is that learning another language is a difficult thing. Let's be clear. Nobody would argue that it's a simple thing. But if you learn another language, you're gaining much more than just a tool. You're gaining a new perspective on the world, a new access to information that you could never dream of gathering any other way. Basically, it's as if you had a second, you know, a new pair of glasses that enables you to see much further or even in a different dimension. And people think that this is kind of like science fiction or an overstatement, but it's absolutely true. In our research, we find everyday effects of the foreign language that are deep and powerful and far more extensive than people assume.
Is it too much to say that this could eventually be also a matter of life and death?
I would think that anything that's a matter of global diplomacy, you know, languages and words can start war. So if there is misunderstanding between people talking, and if they don't actually talk the same language, in the sense, not that's actually a problem with this expression, talking the same language, speaking the same language, because actually what you need to do is to speak the language of the other, meaning that a fully meaningful conversation is a bilingual conversation, a conversation between two people who understand each other's languages. This is not the common ground right now. The common ground is you assume that if you speak English, everybody understands everything. That actually is a complete is misrepresented.
Right, and you, what you're saying is if you have learned a second language or another language, you know that certain things mean certain things differently. It can be have different meanings in different languages. That's, I'm guessing, what you're talking about.
Absolutely. I mean, and especially when it comes to cultural stereotypes and you know, expectations or ideology. If you don't have an understanding of the other's state of mind, how can you come to a perfect agreement? That's the problem. I mean, this is commonly seen as common, if you want, linguistic relativity, the idea that different languages handle representations of the world right down to perception differently. And so if you don't have an understanding, if you don't have a mastery of the other language, you cannot actually perceive everything that the other person perceives. The only way is to get knowledge of that language.
And we're having a global conversation, I think, but especially here in the United States, about truth. If you don't understand the language, it's sometimes hard to come to agreement on the truth, isn't it?
And that's true. And there are some people who would argue that monolingualism is fine, because if everybody speaks the same language, say English, you know, we'll come to an agreement on what's true and what's not, except that language doesn't carry, you know, languages carry with them a whole host of representations and meaning that is only specific to that language. And if you don't learn the other language, you don't get a chance to access this. So there is no universal truth unless there is a universal sharing of languages. And I mean the plural here very seriously, not just one language, but several languages that actually coexist.
Guillaume, I mentioned earlier that a solution to this, and you confirmed it, is learning another language. I've often heard that as you get older, it's harder to learn another language. Is it harder or impossible? And what would be the struggle there?
That's a very good question, and Steve, and to be honest, I've got my own opinion that's forged over years about this. I think this is a complete myth. I think people can learn languages later in life without any particular problem. The issue here is the amount of time you devote to it. When you're a baby, you have no other time to devote to any other thing. You just want to learn language and make sense of the world around you. So it happens because you have fast, because you have this kind of devotion to it. But if you are older, you have lots of other things happening. You have a job, you have other activities that compete with the idea of learning language. But if I drop you in the middle of Japan tomorrow for 3 weeks and you have no means of accessing English, I can assure you that by the end of 3 weeks, you'll be almost fluent in Japanese.
Those immersive programs, I remember when I was in high school and learning French and Spanish, the big thing there was actually going to those countries. We did in both of
Absolutely.
Those classes and immersing ourselves. Guillaume, we appreciate you being with us this morning. Thank you for the information.
You are very welcome.
Guillaume Thierry, a professor of cognitive neuroscience at Bangor University in Wales. And we'll post out a link as well to some of what we've been talking about here with this in the podcast of The Opening Bell later this morning at WGNradio.com.